Naomi Hinui, and a very good morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM and Keep Auckland Beautiful. My guest this morning is Jennings George Toteka from Tag Out Trust. Good morning, Jennings, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I want to ask you about what you do. One of the interesting things to me is how little a lot of people know about community service. You know, before we get to the specifics of your program, what is community service in the New Zealand context?
Well, I think that a lot of people see community service as a punishment. So it's a punitive.
Is this in lieu of jail time?
Yeah. That's how I believe that a lot of the kids that I've worked with see Tag Out as PD. However, the perceptions have changed when they're on the program with me doing the community service.
Okay, so in the broader context, when somebody gets community service, is it a judge that assigns them?
Yeah, it would be handed down from the courts, and then from the courts, the agency that's looking after them could be corrections, could be the police or CIFS. Whatever agency it is, and basically they refer the clients on to Tag Out Trust.
So Tag Out Trust provides a community service program, obviously, because you're it, and there are others out there from various other providers?
There is, but however, Tag Out Trust is probably the most different of them all. And also Tag Out Trust community service is probably the only one in Auckland.
Now, Tag Out Trust is the trust basically with the purpose of eliminating graffiti in pretty much all of West Auckland, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So Tag Out doesn't only just do removal of graffiti in West Auckland, it also covers general cleaning. It's called beautification work.
Okay.
It's picking up rubbish within the local streets, local area. And also stream restoration.
Okay. See, these are things I did not know.
Yeah, so that could be taking out weeds in the stream, planting trees, weeding, general weeding in the areas alongside the streams here.
Now, are you talking about the community service in particular? You guys do all that. You do.
So we cover those kind of three areas, which is graffiti removal, general cleaning, or keep New Zealand beautiful.
Right. So the whole anti-litter aspect of it.
Yep, and it's just really all about educating the clients about the community and how important it is to keep it clean, and the effects that it can have on the environment.
Sure. Now, what's a typical age group of somebody who gets community service? I mean, does it cover all ages? I mean, I'm assuming it's predominant.
Age group for Tag Out would be from somewhere ages of 13 to 17 or 18.
That and young?
We do sometimes get adults come through as well.
That young, okay. And, you know, in my mind, and again, this is just speaking to my prejudices, I picture these kids as going through some form of diversion. We don't want to give them a criminal rap sheet before they're even 18. Let's get them into a program where they can help out the community and help out themselves. Have I got that right, or am I?
Yeah, no, that's correct. You know, Tag Out isn't just about just removing graffiti or cleaning general streets and things like that. Tag Out's more about community development as well, tying in within the community, tying in the kids into their community, connecting them into their community. Tag Out, in a sense, is a gateway to other services and other agencies that can support these children as well, these kids.
Okay. And, of course, when we say community, we are talking about the Waitakere local board area, the Faux local board area, and the Henderson-Massey local board area in terms
that's
of...
Great. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the coverage area. And most of your kids are coming from within those three areas? You know, it's not so much how many you have going in the program at one time, but how many kids are getting added to the role each week? I mean, do you get a handful every week from the courts?
So what happens is that a referral could be a typical 50 hours or could be 10 days of community service.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the clients could only probably do Saturdays. So every other day I'm working around putting a roster together and allowing the kids to do their hours. A lot of them have got school, so you know it gets a bit tricky here and there.
Yes.
However, they've been given a deadline when they should be completing those hours that they've got to do. And my job is to manage all that. Or, in other terms, kind of like you're a referee in a rugby game. Your job is to ref and to manage the behaviours. And sometimes I could get four kids in one day, who may have prolific offending histories. It could be prolific tagging. And it's my job to forecast what kind of behaviours are going to come out on that certain day.
Good Lord. Okay. But it's also you must spend an awful lot of time on the phone just coordinating all this.
Yeah, so the most important thing is just communication, making comms with clients and their parents. You know, for me, I believe that if you can win the parents, then you can win the whole family.
Right.
You're not just dealing with the child, but you also... You know, you've got to look at the child from a holistic point of view, you know, working with them physically, but are they psychologically, you know, mentally stable and, you know, supported as well?
Because I hear good things about your program, so obviously something, you're doing something absolutely right because the kids respond. That's what I hear. The kids respond. I mean, is a typical kid on the first outing pretty... isolated or standoffish? And does that gradually change as time progresses?
Yeah, sometimes I do get some kids that are quite distant, quite standoffish. And again, you know, a lot of the guys that have come through would probably be their friends.
Right, right.
So automatically there's some sort of connection. However, if there is no connection at all, then that's my job to come in and build that rapport with the kids. What are their interests? The most important thing is how I approach a client. You know, it's always got to be positive.
Sure.
So, you know, usually you'll probably hear the first questions that will be asked is from someone else would probably say, oh, why'd you get in trouble?
You know, right.
I mean, they already know they've been in trouble.
Yes.
You don't really have to say that. However, you know, the first thing should be, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so and so-and-so. And asking them if they know other taggers. And I tell you, 99% of the time, they'll turn around and say, yep, I know that person. You know, and so you get to see how connected these kids are to the street, in street terms, at the same time, very disconnected.
Right, so disconnected from their community in the broad sense, but not necessarily from the street sense.
Yeah.
Okay, and I suppose one of the jobs is to kind of put them in the context of their community as a whole, as opposed to just a group of taggers or whatever.
Yeah, and so all that, you know, with all that information that I've gathered over the time that I've started working for Tag Out, I've been able to use all that information and all that intel passed on by the clients and use that to bring common ground between myself as being the service and the client who's the service user.
Well, I can imagine that without some kind of rapport, the job would be a disaster.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think one of the key points would be, as being in this role, is to immerse yourself in the culture, however not losing yourself, but, you know, learning about the culture of the young people and meeting them where they're at rather than, you know, you've been told to do this and that's what it is.
Right. And I presume there is a generation gap. I mean, you're not a spring chicken, are you?
I'd just say mature youth.
There you go. Well, you'd have to be in order to relate to these kids. You'd have to be at some level on their level.
Yeah, I guess, you just got to go back to when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And amalgamate that with what's actually happening now, currently, with the youth culture, and understanding it rather than saying, I know what it is, but actually bringing some sort of understanding. And, a lot of kids out there, they're just misunderstood.
And I suppose some of that behavior is just acting out. I don't want to say for attention, but basically just acting out. They're misunderstood.
Exactly. You know, when kids go and tag, the question is, they're probably asking is, how far will the community go to stop the tagging? Or in other words, they could be asking, you know, how much do you care that you'll actually come out as the community, that you will come out as a neighbor or as a resident and come out and complain and
right.
come out and do something about it? You know, local issues dealt by local people in a local way.
What percentage of your clients are male?
I'd say 95%, mate.
Okay. All right. I was just curious if there was a gender bias, and that sounds like definitely there
is.
Yeah,
it's a very common thing. Hey? Boys are just going to be boys.
Yeah. And I suppose boys and girls act out differently.
Also, a lot of it is a reflection of not having a dad around.
You reckon?
Oh, it's a huge thing.
Okay, and do you find yourself not filling that gap, but you know what I mean? Addressing that.
I have found that, you know, a lot of the kids have taken to me in terms of, hey, this is this big guy who's working with me, kind of father figure that they're looking for.
And, yeah, there's this big guy working with me, and he gives a damn.
Exactly. He gives a damn, you know.
Right.
Kids don't really care about what programs you run, because all it is just going to be programs. Now, what they do care about is whether they've been cared for.
Right.
And when they see something like that, they're attracted to it straight away.
And yeah.
Somebody actually gives a damn about them.
Right. And they would just gravitate towards that automatically.
Automatically, mate.
You don't have to drag them kicking and screaming. They'll come.
Yeah. And I tell you, 95% of the clients that I've had, when they finish their community service, they want to come back.
Because
carry on.
Because they're hungry for work, and I don't mean work as in I want a wage. They want to do something useful. They want to contribute.
Yeah, but also they want that positive reinforcement. That positive, you know, those positive words spoken into them. You know, I had one girl that I had a few months ago, and she was very anti-tagout.
Right.
Very anti.
Right.
And all it just took for her to break through was basically say, did you know that you're amazing? Did you know that you're beautiful? So just those simple words, I tell you, she actually asked me to repeat it a few times because that kind of indicated to me that she's rarely ever heard somebody say something like that to her.
Nobody's ever just reflected back how unique she is.
Yeah, and I tell you, she went 100% from there.
And
she was one of the ones that kept on bugging me. Can I, you know, texting me saying, can I come in and do some more hours? I know I'm finished, but can I do some more? And I'm saying, no, you can't, because first priority goes to everyone else that needs to do the hours.
Right. Right. So
I still get texts, mate.
Right. So, you know, what I'm hearing from you is there's this great yawning need for that in the community.
Yeah, there's a lot of the kids want affirmation.
Right. And they're not getting it at school, I presume, obviously. Maybe not getting it at home?
They're not getting it from school, you know. They just look at it as the problem.
And, you know, while I dive into more stereotypes, they're not all from unemployed families. They may be from overemployed families where mom and or dad is working two or three minimum wage jobs just to put food on the table.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right in that. You know, you've got parents, both parents are forced to go to work. So who's mentoring these kids?
Right, and it's
and, you know, there could be the possibility that mum and dad are working late, and so who has to be mum and dad at home?
The oldest,
and then everyone falls back and, you know, has to fall in line.
Right.
But not always the oldest can handle everything, so, you know, the kids want to be kids.
That's right.
Adults.
Well, and the oldest need the same attention and care and feeding as the younger ones, and certainly don't know how much the younger ones need it. Any more than themselves.
Yeah, you're right.
What's the solution to that? I mean, if it's community service, obviously, is catching things kind of after the fact, after something's already gone wrong and there's been a run-in with SIFs or the police or something.
Yep.
How do you address that up front?
There's the government side of things. All right, But I'll just dive straight in there. It's all about family, love. You know, it all starts at home.
Yep.
Everything starts at home. But however, you got the pressures of having to, as a parent, pay the rent, pay the bills, and you've got to go to work. And a lot of work that's out there for, you know, that's out there for our families aren't really high-paying wages.
Well, you can't live on it, so you got to do more than
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's not living wage. And so parents are forced to work longer hours. And, you know, the hours are not whānau-friendly.
Right. Right. And, of course, we don't necessarily live in a culture where extended family all lives together anymore, so there may or may not even be a grandma or a grandpa or an auntie around to fill that gap.
Yeah, definitely. And so where the whole family makeup, there's a breakdown there with, you know, mum and dad are there to be parents. And I'd say 20 years ago, dad was always at work. And so all the core values that children are getting were from their parents, from their mum.
Yep.
You know, so you'll get a child come in and say, oh, hi, mum. You know, they'll run and ask mum all the questions. As soon as they see dad come home, the first question they'll say is, where's mum?
Right.
It's not, oh, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? You know, generally, you know, that will be the first question. Where's mum? Because mum has everything.
Yep. Mum's the one who's providing the answers, the afternoon tea,
the mentoring, everything.
Yep, the bandages and the hugs.
Yeah.
Take me through a typical Saturday. You obviously go out every Saturday because kids aren't at school, so there's always going to be a group on a Saturday.
Yep.
Take me through a typical day.
A typical day looks like picking up clients, and then from the pickups, I go out and do various jobs. So my role on a Saturday would be to do bridges. It could be a whole alleyway, 100 to 200 square meters of painting.
Right.
So when you've got clients that have to do such a long job, or big job, you've obviously got to think about, you know, forecasting what's their attitude going to be like, what's their self-esteem going to be like, and how do you manage those behaviors.
And what about the logistics? You need paint, you need rollers, you need brushes, you need safety
equipment. That you need would be, you know, the basic equipment is obviously the paint, rollers, protective gear, and that's it. You're ready to go.
And how many kids would you typically go out with on a Saturday?
Four?
Okay.
Because that's the max that I can take in the vehicle. So
sure, and it's probably the max you can manage all at once when they're all having a bad day.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, sometimes I could be doing 100 meters. I might just do 50 meters and change the scenery, take the kids out to another site. Because a lot of, you know, you think about if somebody's in trauma, what's the first thing they do? They start rocking, because it's called rhythms of life. You know, you want to get yourself into rhythm.
That's right.
If you change the sceneries, it gives off a different dynamic to the group of kids that you have. So you're not always stuck in the one section that you have to do.
Right, and you're also not stuck in a section that may be dirty and graffitied and run down.
Because those can play a psychological thing, you know, on a person's, you know, mental state.
Sure.
If you're always just going to be surrounded by rubbish, then it's going to make you depressed.
Right. Now, would you spend how many hours in one session, for want of a better word?
So a full day would be 7.5 hours.
Wow. 7.5 hours with the same four kids.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's awesome, mate. It's how you ref the game. That's the way I put it. It's how you ref the game. I talk to the kids and say, hey, this is how it works. It's a normal job. You get 2 15-minute breaks and 1 half-hour break. And I know at the back of my head, though, that these kids have no idea what a working day looks like.
That's right. They have no concept of it.
Exactly. So what I do is I just state those, and however I give extra breaks, you know, extra 10 minute here, extra 10 minute there. So I'm rolling those breaks and, you know, encouraging them at the same time.
Right. Now, do you end up feeding these kids on the day?
Mate, if you don't have food, these kids ain't going to turn up.
Right.
And that's pretty much, one of the big highlights for the kids is that they get fed.
Right, they're going to get a proper feed.
Yeah, typical kids like to have fish and chips, or sometimes I try to bring the healthy buzz into the day as well.
Right.
But because they've worked so hard, why not reward them?
Okay. And, of course, food is just yet another thing that's very social.
Yeah, it's very social. So, for me, I call those the very important times would be the meals, because you're actually sitting down, everyone feels like they're on the same playing field. They don't look at me as, oh, he's the supervisor, he tells me what to do, but they look at me as, oh, we're actually one team, we're having a feed together.
Yeah, and you're looking into each other's eyes, you're not looking at the work.
So you can make
that contact.
And we're talking, sometimes we'll go out and have a game of basketball. It doesn't always have to be about removing graffiti.
Right. Or you'll go out and plant some trees, or you'll go out and pick up some litter, maybe do a little bit of both.
Yeah, exactly. So, the way I kind of look at it is drips and drabs, drips and drabs. That's how you can manage your day.
Right. Now, where do you get the work from, for want of a better word? Now, the Tag Out Trust is a graffiti-removing trust in terms of, they've got trucks out there. Do they save work for you, for want of a better word?
Okay, so this is how I get my jobs, all right? We've got about 6 operators, and they go out and do the small little jobs. Anything that's huge, they will refer it to me.
Ah, okay.
But that does not mean that I don't go looking.
Right.
I am still always on the hunt for big jobs.
Right.
You got 4 kids, so you might as well utilize them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what about other community organizations? You talked about stream planting, and I know there's several groups in West Auckland involved in stream restoration or planting.
Yep.
Do you pick up work from them?
So what I do is I make comms with them, I keep networking with them, and see where can Tag Out fit in for a certain day. It could be a community event.
Right.
So Tag Out can supply the paint as they do some beautification work, and it could be a street. For instance, we've done one in Rānui, in Marinich, which has got a stream there, one of the 2 streams, which is Project Twin Streams.
Right.
You got the Oratia stream and the Opanuku stream.
That's right. And so what did your kids do on that day?
They went out and helped out with the community.
Okay. I mean, was that a planting day or a...
It was both planting and also removal of graffiti. I guess one of the highlights for that was people would say, oh, you've got a great team of kids. I say, yeah, they are a great team. They're a great team from Tag Out Trust. Instead of saying, oh, they're on PD.
Right.
Already they feel like they've been elevated.
Yes, because they're not getting the negative label.
Exactly. And so they feel like, I've esteemed them and respected them and honored them in front of the community.
Yep.
And so basically that's where I get the buy-in from them.
Right, so you don't make them wear striped shirts, obviously.
Yeah.
Right, well, it sounds to me like a very different paradigm from, certainly days past in my youth where it was very punitive and very much a shaming game.
Yeah. There's room for that, though. There's always room for that, but...
I suppose there's...
The bridge is working.
There's a time and place for everything, but as you say, a lot of these kids just really need something constructive to do with their hands and their hearts.
Yes, definitely.
And also just need some of their awesomeness reflected back at them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just need to know, they just need to hear the words. You don't have to physically go up to somebody and beat them up to hurt them. Just have to say a few words and you've got them, you've broken their heart. So just think about that kind of, you know, that kind of perception, you know, or that kind of thinking. If it only takes a few words just to hurt somebody, then you can also use words. I call it words of mass destruction.
Words of mass destruction, WMD, I like it.
You can put useless and you can put a bullet in a gun. It has the same effect.
Yeah, just like saying to the... you know, the community stream cleanup that, these are the rat bags on PD.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, no, 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 we're team tag out.
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't we awesome?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, that word useless is about as powerful as a bullet, isn't it?
Yeah, that it is. And, you know, when you're working with these kids, you also got to remember that, you know, they have a total different worldview.
Right.
And when you work, you know, when I'm working with a lot of the kids, I try to get into their, you know, I try and understand what their worldview is like. How do they view the world? How do they view their community? How do they view themselves?
Well, how is it different? Give me an example. Obviously, you're not explaining it for all kids, but...
Okay. It's okay to sleep around.
Okay.
Yeah, no one's going to hurt you. You just go and hurt everyone else. That's one worldview they have.
Wow.
Yeah, next week I've got another girlfriend. Or next week I've got another boyfriend.
They're all interchangeable.
Yeah.
Right. And, well, there's never been any commitment to me, so why should I commit to anyone else?
Exactly. And, you know, I've seen it heaps. I've just seen it a lot with working with the kids. So my, you know, part of my, I guess, my role... is that I talk about those worldviews, how do they view the world, and talk about, you know, they are the face of their ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about the words tamoko.
Tamoko.
Yeah, tamoko. A lot of people, you know, a lot of the kids don't understand that concept. Tamoko is not a tattoo.
No, it's your story.
Yeah, it's your story. And so,
and it gets done over your whole lifetime, doesn't it? I mean, it's not something
you—it's
not something you go into the tattoo shop and have done one day.
No, no, it's about who you are. It's about who, you know, who was before you, who came onto this earth before you. You know, in other words, I say you are the living dream of your ancestors. They no longer exist. However, you do, and you have the air in your lungs, and you represent their face. That's why you have the word mokopuna, meaning you wear the face or the moko of your ancestors.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, kind of, I guess, getting them in touch with their culture as well, engage with their culture.
Right, so you're implying that there's definitely a Maori bias towards the clients that are coming through?
Yeah, we get a lot of Māori kids that come through, you know, huge number of Māori kids and Pacific Island.
Right, and the fundamental concepts will be closely related. Different words, different twist on the story, but I think you're going to be surprised, but we're actually out of time this morning.
Oh, yay.
It's been a real eye-opener to me because, you know, it's part of life that I don't have any association with whatsoever. So on behalf of all those who've told me what an awesome job you do, thank you for the awesome job you do.
Thank you, mate.
Keep up the good work and spread the love.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it's no artificial flavors. It's just tango.
Well, thank you very much, Jennings. Kia ora.
Listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org